The following message was given by brothers Israel Hsu and Robert Rios in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, April 15th, 2018. The title of the message is Christ as the Peace Between God and God's People for their co-enjoyment and fellowship to have the vital group church life and to consummate in the New Jerusalem as the ultimate peace offering. Scripture reading, Leviticus chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 12, Philippians chapter 4, verses 5 through 9 and 11 through 13, Colossians chapter 3, verse 15.
Well, this morning we are continuing our fellowship over the book of Leviticus, and in particular the five offerings, the five main offerings in Leviticus. The title this morning is Christ as the Peace. Christ as the Peace. Between God and God's people, for their co-enjoyment in fellowship, and then to have two things, to have the vital group church life, and to consummate in the New Jerusalem as the ultimate peace offering. And I'd like to just review a little bit. We've been covering up till now the five basic offerings, and the peace offering is the last of the five. And it's actually the result of the first four offerings. You have the first four offerings, then you will enjoy peace with God and peace with God's people. The first is the burnt offering. And in the burnt offering, we saw that we are not absolute for God. God created us to live for Him, but because we're fallen, we don't live for God. So we need the burnt offering. We need Christ, who is absolutely for God. And we can also testify that when we enjoy Christ as the one who's absolute for God, then in Him, we can consecrate ourselves to God. We can also testify, I think we all have this experience, when we don't live for God, when we live for other things, when we live for career, or maybe we would live for other people, we don't have peace, right? So peace is the result of the burnt offering. Amen. Then the second offering is the meal offering. And the meal offering signifies Christ in His humanity. Christ lived a marvelous human life, and that life was the mingling of God and man in Him. And that humanity, that living, is our food. That's the meal offering. We can also testify, right, that our fallen humanity does not issue in peace. It just issues in division and arguments and disagreements and opinions. But when we enjoy Christ in His humanity and we live Him out, then there will be peace. Amen. The third offering is the sin offering. Praise the Lord, we have Christ as our sin offering. In this offering, Christ has taken care of the problem of the sinful nature, and He has dealt death to the devil. The devil has been destroyed. Certainly, the devil and sin is the cause for no peace. So praise the Lord, we have Christ as our sin offering. And furthermore, the fourth offering, Christ is our trespass offering. So not only did He deal with the source of sin, the sinful nature, but He took care of the problem of all of our sins, that is, all of our sinful trespasses or actions. And all of those have been dealt with by His death so that we are forgiven. Praise the Lord! Oh, what peace we can have by enjoying Christ as our trespass offering. And finally, Christ is our peace offering. Having enjoyed Him and offered Him to God as our burnt offering, our meal offering, our sin offering, and our trespass offering, now we can enjoy peace. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Isn't that marvelous? Amen. I think in the Lord's table, we also enjoy this, right? You come, and we just love the Lord, we praise Him, and we enjoy all the fruits of His work as being the unique offering. Amen. So, this week, we see that we should enjoy Christ as our peace offering. I'll just read a few points from the outline, and then Brother Robert will follow. And just to remind you, saints, this is the prophesying meeting. So Brother Robert and I will speak an opening word, not a full-fledged message. So whatever points we don't cover, but you have the burden to speak, please feel free to speak after we do. Amen. The issue of enjoying Christ as our burnt offering, our meal offering, our sin offering, and our trespass offering is the enjoyment of Christ as the peace offering. We should not try to have peace by our own effort. Have you ever tried that? Try to calm yourself down? Try to free yourself from anxiety? Or try to calm down the other person? It's hard. It's impossible. The more we try in ourselves to have peace, the less peace we will have. The only way to have peace is to enjoy Christ every day.
Amen.
And I appreciate the verses in this outline. There's a very simple way to enjoy Christ as our peace every day. Let's pull up Romans 14:17 and read this together. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saints in the church life, we are in the kingdom of God. And it's not a matter of physical eating and drinking, although we do eat and drink together, but it's a matter of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so what if you're not in the Holy Spirit yet? Then we have the next verse. Let's read 1 Corinthians 12:3 and start at the semicolon, the second half of the verse. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. So no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except in the Holy Spirit. The corollary is, if you say, Jesus is Lord, you will be in the Holy Spirit. So, to enjoy Christ as our peace every day, we should start by calling on His name.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus! Jesus is Lord!
Amen.
Then, by calling on His name, you get into the Holy Spirit. And in the Holy Spirit is righteousness, peace, and joy. Amen. Having peace is a measurement to show us to what degree we enjoy Christ. The more you enjoy Christ, the more peace you will have. And we should enjoy Christ today and forget about yesterday and about tomorrow. I really appreciate this. You know, it's good to know where we came from. It's good to know our history. But Paul was not one who was held back by his past. And that is why in Philippians 3, he said, forgetting all the things that are behind. Actually, there were a lot of things in his past that were worthy of remembrance, right? He had many high points of his past. But he said, I want to forget all those things because today is today. I want to gain Christ today. That's Philippians 3. Another verse I enjoyed, I'll read to you, is Hebrews 3. In verse 7, therefore, even as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice. God is speaking today. So He says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. And then in the same chapter, verse 13, but exhort one another each day, as long as it is called today. Is today called today? Yes. Exhort one another, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So Christ is here today. Forget about yesterday. Forget about tomorrow. We can enjoy Him today. Amen. Amen. Now, let's move on to Philippians. I really like Philippians. You know, the subject of Philippians is taking Christ. Then taking Christ as what? As our living, pattern, goal, power, and secret. Okay? This is why Philippians is such an experiential book. It's because Paul is writing about taking Christ as our living and our pattern, taking him as our goal, taking him as our power, right? We are empowered to do all things, and then taking him as our secret. And what a secret this is. You know, in all the world, people want to know, how can we be at peace? At all levels, personally, how can you enjoy peace? In your family, how can you have peace? In civic society, how can you have peace when you're crowded in the subway? How can you be at peace with your neighbor when he pushes you so he can get in the door, right? How can you have peace in all these situations? Then not to mention internationally, right? Or even nationally, and then internationally and globally. How can there be peace? The secret is we need to take Christ as our life, take Christ as our living. And I particularly enjoy the way we enjoy Christ is by talking to him. In everything, ask God. Take your anxiety to God. In every environment and in any matter, we can let our requests be made known to God. And the reason that this results in peace is because when we talk to God, when we bring our matters to the Lord, he not only listens, but he sympathizes. This is precious. It is hard to find someone who will listen, right? Because it takes time. It takes time to listen. The Lord has a lot of time. He can listen to you, and he can listen to all the other saints all at the same time, right? If we all have morning revival tomorrow morning between 6 and 8 in the morning, he can listen to all of us. And it's as if he was only listening to you. But not only is he listening, he also sympathizes. So in your distress, he sympathizes with your distress. In your joy, he sympathizes with your joy. He will rejoice with you. He will be distressed with you. And this is a great comfort, right? This brings us peace. And I appreciate this point in the outline as part of the secret. Those who do not know this secret consider to live Christ a difficult thing, right? Seems difficult to put aside yourself and to be one with Christ. Actually, you just need to practice speaking with the Lord constantly. Amen. Then spontaneously, you will live Christ. Why does this work? It works because when you are speaking to the Lord, when you are calling on his name, and when you're opening to him, you're speaking to him, you are in the Holy Spirit. And something happens. That doesn't happen when you talk to other people. What happens is Christ is dispensing himself into you. So you may say, I am not one with you, Lord. But the more you speak with him, he's dispensing himself into him to make you one with him. And eventually your prayer is just, Amen, Lord, I'm one with you. You're one with me. And the result of this is peace. The result of practicing fellowship with God in prayer is that the peace of God, which is God as peace, is infused into us for our enjoyment as the counterpoise to troubles and the antidote to anxiety. Okay, then, I also enjoy this verse. I'm sure many of us enjoyed this verse. Isaiah 66, 12 and 13. Let's skip down to that one and read that together. 66, verses 12 and 13. For thus says Jehovah, I now am extending to her peace like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you will nurse, you will be carried on the hip, and you will be bounced on the knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. So this peace is peace like a river. And I think you can just imagine being by the riverside and watching the river flow by. It's the peace like a river. But it's also the peace of the comforting mother, right? This is the way God comforts us. Our mother is the one who knows us the best, and so she knows how to comfort us. Isn't it precious? God is our Father, but He's also the comforting Mother. Amen. Now, the bulk of the rest of the outline is on this matter of forbearance. When we live Christ as our peace, we exhibit a certain kind of characteristic. And the first two aspects of this characteristic is that we have forbearance. Paul says, let your forbearance be known to all men. The Lord is near. And then it's also a life without anxiety. Now, and Brother Robert's going to continue. I was just impressed that all these points of forbearance, when you read the outline and you read the verses, you realize, oh, I am not full of forbearance. And a lot of times, you read the outlines, it says we need to, or we need to do this, or we need to do that, we need to this, we need to that. But this outline doesn't say that. And that is because forbearance is not something we need to do, is not something we need to have. Forbearance is the result of our enjoying Christ as our peace. So I was just touched. Yes, many of these points on forbearance is kind of exposing, right? Patience, kindness, not claiming your full right to something. But this is not something we should strive for. Rather, this is the fruit. This is the expression of someone who enjoys Christ. Amen. So let us be encouraged. And let us exhort one another while today is called today. Amen. Praise the Lord that Christ is our wonderful peace offering. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Christ is our wonderful peace offering. The peace offering is something not just for us to learn about, but something we can actually experience. Not only individually, but in our practical church life, in the practical, vital group church life. And also, the peace offering actually issues in something, which is the New Jerusalem. This is what the title of this message reveals. When we have Christ, first of all, when we have Christ as the burnt offering and as the meal offering, we have in our experience the basis to experience Christ as the peace offering. What does that mean? It means that when we experience and enjoy Christ as the burnt offering and as the meal offering, there is joy and satisfaction within us, and there is peace. This is the significance of the sequence that we see in Leviticus. First, we have the burnt offering, then the meal offering, then the issue and the application of Christ in these two aspects is peace. Isn't that precious? Every aspect concerning Christ and concerning our enjoyment of Christ will be fulfilled in the New Jerusalem. In the New Jerusalem, we will realize how Christ is the fulfillment of all these offerings. So all these offerings will issue in the New Jerusalem. And we'll see that at the end a little bit. Today, back in Leviticus, the Lord spoke in the little tent of meeting. Today, as the reality of the tent of meeting, the Lord is speaking in the church. And apparently, this kind of speaking is not attractive to the ears. How many times that before we received this ministry and read the recovery version, did we just gloss over the book of Leviticus? Because we didn't understand it and we didn't have an appreciation for what it said. So many kinds of Christians prefer an outward kind of Christianity, miraculous things, entertainments. But we need to receive mercy and grace to care for what's in the Lord's heart so that we may be drawn to the tent of meeting to hear what's on the Lord's heart, to hear what really matters to the Lord. The matter of these peace offerings are really crucial for our experience and for the Lord to gain what He's after. In the first part of Leviticus, chapters 1 through 6, 8, there is an sequence of the peace offerings, of the offerings. First, and that indicates that the peace offering is the issue of the enjoyment of God and man and the meal offering. First, we have the burnt offering as a base, right? Peace offering is brought into the altar and burned on the wood. Then the meal offering is also placed there. And then we have the peace offering. So this indicates that it's not a doctrinal matter, although it is kind of based on knowledge to understand the sequence of it. But we need to enjoy in a practical way first to learn how to take Christ as our burnt offering and feed on him in our as our daily food. This is our experience, right? When we come to the Lord in the morning, we partake of him as the burnt offering, the meal offering, and then we have peace. And then in the law, the section on the law of the offerings, from beginning from chapter 6, 8 through the end of chapter 7, 38, the peace offering is based also on the sin offering and the trespass offering. And practically, this means that when the problem of sin arises, right, we have the problem of sin and trespasses. This is solved by Christ as our sin offering and our trespass offering. And when we partake of God in this kind of way, we are satisfied with Christ in the burnt offering and in the meal offering. Then we can experience Christ as our peace offering, right? It's really very practical in application. In Leviticus chapter 6, verse 1, the burnt offering, first of all, the fire was on the altar, and it was not to go out, right? The Lord said, the fire on the altar shall not go out. The priest shall burn wood on it every morning. And then the priest was to lay the burnt offering on it. So the fire is from God, right? The fire initially came from God, and then the wood is just us. And then the wood is kept burning, right, before God, meaning that God is always there, ready to receive us, right? We can lay the Lord as the burnt offering and the meal offering, and then experience him as the peace offering. The practical application is that when we take Christ in such a way every morning, we can have something within us, although we may have something within us that's not so good, not so good within us. We may come a little dry, a little stale, but after a short time, we sense something peaceful, right? Because we apply the Lord as our sin offering, as our peace offering, as our burnt offering, as our meal offering. The result is peace. And this peace is Christ himself, not in just a superficial way, but it's Christ pervading our inner being. We become constituted with Christ as our peace. How is this possible? Well, the peace offering, part of the peace offering is that there was the breast, right, that was waved before the Lord as a wave offering. And then there was a thigh that was heaved up to the Lord as a heave offering. And the wave offering signifies resurrection. And then eating the breast is to partake of Christ's love and his resurrection life. So it's something not something that we do, but something that we partake of. We eat this breast offering. Then also with the thigh signifies the strength to stand in Christ's ascension so that we may partake of these aspects of the peace offering. So peace is not something merely on the surface of our being. Peace actually becomes constituted in our being. So the peace we have is Christ as our love, and we have Christ as our strength to stand, even as Ephesians says, having done all to stand. This is not doctrine or theology, brothers and sisters. It's a genuine spiritual experience in our daily life. We know that every true Christian has the experience of peace, right? But the peace spoken of or revealed in Leviticus and in the divine revelation is something more than just an outward superficial peace. It's not just absence of troubles and having a peaceful environment. But what Leviticus reveals is that by eating the peace offering, we are constituted with it. Praise the Lord. And we become a constitution of peace ourselves. We are become peacemakers, right? We're those who preach the gospel of peace. We become a being constituted with peace. This is really practical. This is really our experience. So when we lay our hands upon the peace offering, this signifies identification in two directions. Christ becomes what we are as redemption to us, and we partake of what he is and become what he is, the peace offering and the aspect that is applicable to us. Amen. So we have the problems of sins, transgressions, failures, iniquities, lawlessness, but we also have the blood as the propitiating blood that's brought before the Holy of Holies. But this blood is brought before the Holy of Holies and is hidden. We don't see it. It satisfies God's requirements of righteousness, holiness, and glory. But we have the problem with our conscience, right? So Leviticus tells us that the blood was to be sprinkled before the offerer on the altar and around the altar in full view of the offering one. This is so that the one who's offering would realize by faith that the blood takes care of his situation. So we need the eyes of faith that the blood was shed on the cross for our forgiveness of sins, and we're justified by faith, and we have peace with God. We're reconciled to God based upon the shed blood of Jesus, the Son of God. Amen. Amen. The practical application of all of this can be seen in the New Testament, right? In Romans 14:17, Paul says the kingdom of God, which is the practical church life today, is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And then 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, like our brother said, no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. So when we call on the name of the Lord, we're actually, is the actual way to experience this peace, right? And 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, through whom we were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So the peace that we can have is practical by calling on the name of the Lord. In Philippians 4, 4 through 7, we see that God here is our peace, as we read. Paul tells us to rejoice in the Lord always, right? And to let our forbearance be known to all men. In footnote 4-5, note 2, the note on reasonable forbearance says that forbearance is reasonableness, consideration in dealing with others, not being strict in claiming one's legal right. It is in contrast to selfish ambition and glory, as we see in chapter 2, 3, and to murmurings and reasonings. It is Christ himself as an excellent virtue lived out of the believers. Amen. And then verse 7 says that the peace of God, surpassing every man's understanding, guards our hearts and our thoughts in Christ Jesus. The word guard can be rendered as mounts guard as, right? To mount guard over. The peace of God, the brother said in the training, that the peace of God patrols over and guards our hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus. So he's like a patrolling infantry, right? You're in the barracks, you're sleeping, you're in front of enemy lines, but you have someone there, you can be at peace. There's someone patrolling the front lines, right? You know, to warn you, to protect you. So even though we may have troubles, right, all around us, anxieties trying to rob us of our peace, yet this this God of peace mounts guard over us so that nothing could disturb our peace. Amen. I just want to read a few portions concerning the aspects of forbearance. I never realized this. The first aspect of a forbearance is an aspect of the expression of a life that lives Christ. A second aspect is the absence of anxiety. Forbearance is the most important element of a tranquil life. Forbearance includes peacefulness, mildness. Forbearance means not to be strict with others, not to be strict with respect to legal rights. A certain thing may be ours, but we do not claim it according to strict legal right. Forbearance includes love, patience, kindness, humility, compassion, considerateness, submissiveness, willingness to yield. And then it says, if we have such an all-inclusive virtue, we shall also have righteousness and holiness. Forbearance means to be satisfied with less than our due. It also means sweet reasonableness. It includes self-control, patience, moderation, gentleness. Forbearance is all-inclusive because it includes all the Christian virtues. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, these are all the aspects of forbearance. So the best word to sum up the totality of Christian human virtues is forbearance. To make known our forbearance is to live a life which expresses Christ. It is to express the Christ by whom we live. Such a life is Christ himself as the totality of all human virtues. If we live our lives the way that unbelievers do, don't express forbearance in our living, in our practical situations, then we're just like the unbelievers. We preach the gospel to them, and they say, well, you know, you're anxious just like I am. You have troubles, and they affect you. But if they see that we have forbearance, experiencing the peace of God and God as peace, then that becomes something that we can speak to them about, you know, the Lord, how the Lord is our peace, and it becomes the gospel, right? So, amen. Then it goes on to say in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that God, it confirms that God is the God of peace, right? And Ephesians 2:13 and 14 says that Christ Jesus is our peace. He himself is our peace, right? In Isaiah 32:2, we can see how we can have fellowship with God in prayer. Isaiah says, a man will be like a refuge from the wind and a covering from the tempest, like streams of water in a dry place, like the shadow of a massive rock in a wasted land. You know, our tendency is to talk to people about our troubles, about our situations, about anything and about everything, you know, haphazardly. But we need to learn to confer with God and confide in God in everything, right? So that we can turn all of our anxiety into forbearance. If we just talk to people about our problems, we'll just weigh them down. But if in the midst of our problems we can speak to them how Christ is our peace, then we can minister something to them. In Psalm 73, 14 to 17, I think we have those. The psalmist says, for I have been plagued all day long and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. That means if he had spoken these things out to people. But he says, when I considered this in order to understand it, it was a troublesome task in my sight until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. So in the sanctuary of God, right, which is our spirit, and the church meetings, we receive the solution to all our problems, our perplexities. The sanctuary of God is our spirit where the Lord dwells, and the church, as the temple of God, is also the sanctuary. So we get into our spirit, especially the church meetings. Many times we come with anxieties, with troubles, but when we leave the meeting, it's hard to say, but I understand, but we leave in peace, you know? I was with a saint this week. All kinds of troubles, didn't explain it to me, didn't have to. You can see it. But that person came to my home and said, you know, despite my situation, I have peace. I can't understand it. You know, there was an inner peace within that one, because that one is contacting the Lord in the midst of that one's situation. So praise the Lord. This is practical and real. Then at the end, in Isaiah chapter 66, it says, for thus says Jehovah, I am now extending to her peace, peace like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you will nurse, you will be carried on the hip, and you will be bounced on the knees, as one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you. and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem, according to Galatians, is our mother, right? It says here, the verse 63, chapter 63, 13 speaks about our mother comforting us. And Paul tells us that our mother is the heavenly Jerusalem. And Jerusalem means the foundation of peace. So eventually, the new Jerusalem will be the full expression of peace, actually of the peace offering. The Lord in John 14, 27 said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then 16:33, he says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have affliction, but take courage. I have overcome the world." And then in verse 20, the fulfillment of this comes. The Lord comes and he breathes into the disciples and he says, "Peace be with you." And he breathes into them the Holy Spirit. So the practical, real experience of peace is in the Holy Spirit. So in the Gospel of John, it begins by grace coming to us, but in the end, we see that peace also comes to us, to all of the disciples. So, and even in all the epistles, we see that they all begin with grace and peace, except for 1 John and the book of James. But in 1 John, we have the experience of fellowship and joy, and that's actually the experience of peace. And James says, or mentions, the fruit of righteousness sown in peace by those who make peace. Just want to read something at the end here, page 221. "Since the Lord has given us peace and left his peace today, we should live in his peace. Actually, the Lord himself is still here as our peace. Jerusalem is the triune God to be our peace, to be our safety. The whole New Jerusalem will be an entity of peace. When we consummate in the New Jerusalem, we will be in peace. That is, in the triune God. Praise the Lord. The New Jerusalem will be solidly grounded and safeguarded in the triune God as peace and safety. And we will enjoy the triune God as peace forever." So this is the experience of peace in the church life, in our experience, and in the New Jerusalem, the consummation. Hallelujah! This is doesn't need to be a doctrine to us anymore. We can practice this every morning. Take the Lord as our peace offering by applying him as all the aspects of all the offering aspects, right? Hallelujah. So now, saints, it's your turn. Bring the mics out and you share your portion. Especially your portions of experience. You know, we didn't cover this matter too. I didn't do a very good job of covering this matter of the experience of the forbearance. But we all have these experiences, right? You know, oftentimes my wife has brought to me a cup of coffee, you know, and I say, "Oh, it's a little too cold, or it's too hot, or maybe it's too weak," you know? No forbearance. We're exposed, right? But we need, and I'm glad that this is exposed, you know, that we learned this from the ministry, that we may learn how to have forbearance in a practical way in our Christian life. Not just before unbelievers, but even before our dear loved ones and in the church life, so that there may be an expression of forbearance in all things. The Lord is near, right? He's near in us. He's near not only in his coming, but he's near us. He's with us to be our forbearance in all our situations. Amen.